May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. These are messianic verses from the Old Testament. They're words about revival or the pouring out of God's presence. But it's praying for the coming of Messiah. It says in verse 1 of Isaiah 64, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, and as fire kindles the brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence, when you did awesome things which we did not know or expect. When you did come down, the mountains quaked at your presence." We've talked about this before, but it's a mindset that's so important. Again, we yesterday talked about the renewing of our minds, and Ephesians 4 talks about renewing the spirit of your mind. It's not about getting more information, it's about changing our mindset, changing our perception about things. And one of the most popular words in the body of Christ today is the word breakthrough. But the way it's prayed, the way we cry out for more, is like we're praying that God will show up and do more. Give us more, and he'll break through. But the truth is that when Jesus came, he was the great breakthrough. He broke through, and he brought everything God desires for us to experience. And it's we're the ones who break through. We break through in the area of faith, to believe God for the all that's ours already in Christ. That's really important. The devotional that I wrote this morning that I sent out kind of focused on this scripture from John chapter 4 with the woman at the well. Now, hear these verses, and this is a prototype of what happens when a person becomes a Christian, when they encounter Jesus. Then it says a lot for all of us. When Jesus says to her in verse 10, to give him a drink, and then Jesus said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? And are you not greater than our father Jacob, are you? Because this is Jacob's well, who gave us the well, and drank it of himself and his sons and his cattle." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." And then, of course, she says, "Sir, give me the water." Again, eternal life isn't about duration and time. Though, once you experience eternal life, receive eternal life, the gift of eternal life, it's something you enjoy forever. In the end, eternal life is a person and the life that that person shares with us. Eternal life is a quality of life. It's a supernatural, heavenly life. It's life as it's lived in heaven or in the heavenly realm. It's when Jesus said, "I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly," he was saying, "I want you to experience the kind of life that's supernatural, that's heavenly in nature, miraculous. The kind of life I bring. I came that you might have life. It takes my presence. I bring that to you. Holy Spirit makes that real in you." And so when it says that this well would spring up in eternal life, it's not talking about, well, you'll get saved and go to heaven one day. It's that a quality of life that's supernatural and heavenly in nature is going to be released in you. It says, as a matter of fact, you've spent your whole life thirsting to get your heart and life needs met. And yet every time you keep coming up empty and still thirsty. He said, but if you'll drink this water, you'll never thirst again, because it'll be a permanent and perpetual well, like artesian well, and life more abundantly will just spring up in you. Now, again, if that's the prototype of what happens to every believer, that when you get saved, the analogy that he uses is that there's this well inside of you. It's the life of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And it's just springing up into life and life more abundant. It never stops, can't ever quit. There's never, it's endless. It's continual. Then the question I would ask is, why do we spend so much time asking God for more? Now, if we're asking God for more because we understand to say, Lord, we want to experience more, I get that. God honors that heart's cry. Lord, I want to experience more of the well that's springing up. But if it's that I want to get more, you can't get more. You can't get more. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, there'll be rivers of living water coming up out of our innermost being. Rivers, an endless, limitless supply of the life of Christ. You can't get more. So what I'm saying to you is that the moment you became a Christian, you see, God broke through in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And that became all of ours, potentially. But the moment you get saved, you started carrying the reality of what we call revival from the moment you were born again. And maybe instead of spending so much time crying out for more, God would like for us to begin to, by faith, just trusting Him, receiving Him, resting in, celebrating that life that's springing up in you already right now. You may not recognize it. You may be asking God for more. You may be telling Him how thirsty you are and how barren and dry you are. But there's a well in you that's life and life more abundant, and it's springing up right now. And how sad it is for a person who carries a well inside of them of endless, bountiful, continual life and life more abundant that should leave you never thirsty again. It says what it says. How sad it is for people who carry that around them just looking for something else to happen so that they will quit being so thirsty because they're living in a barren and dry land emotionally and spiritually and morally. That's sad. You have been filled with the fullness of Jesus. Colossians 2:10. It happened the moment you got saved. It's not that we need to get revival. We need to begin to draw from the revival that we all got. You got it. It's yours. Read this one last verse. We got it. It's ours. And this is the witness that God has given us eternal life already. And this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has the life. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have that life. If you're a Christian, it's because you have the Son. And if you have the Son, then you've already got that life. And it's bubbling up inside of you now. And maybe the real issue is we need to just realize it and begin to receive by faith. To start trusting in that reality. Maybe that's the breakthrough. Maybe the breakthrough is childlike faith. When we get simple enough to believe what He says is true about us. Because about little children, you can tell them anything. And they believe it. Amen?
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son.